I thought it would really be the most helpful for all of us if we would really learn from one another. So most of this workshop is going to be a lot of discussion and passing ideas of back and forth with each other. And my hope is that we'll all be stimulated to some new ideas and ways of doing things and some new things to try out for next year. So I'd like to have you all get involved and feel free to speak up, because if you don't speak up, it's going to be very silent. I decided not to spend any time on the biblical basis for evangelism. Probably all of you could come up and share your thoughts on that. And I thought what would be most helpful to us all is to spend our time talking mainly on training girls in doing evangelism, and then also on planning your strategy for evangelism to reach your campus. So that's what we're going to be majoring on. Well, why don't we pray before we start? Father, we thank you that you have called us to be your ambassadors, and that we have the privilege of sharing with others the message of reconciliation. Father, you have called us to a high call, and we pray that you would help us to be effective ourselves and also in training others in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We pray that this afternoon, during this time, that you would cause there to be a real freedom of discussion. And, Father, we would ask that we would learn from one another, and that the ideas that we share with each other would really stimulate our minds and help us to be creative in trying new things and in being more effective in evangelism. So we commit this time to you, and we pray that you would be glorified by it and that you'd make us more effective as a result. Thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you all get a handout on your seat? Okay. The first thing we want to do is to break up into some little buzz groups and just talk about these first two questions. I thought we'd start out just by sharing with each other what are some approaches that you have found to be successful recently with girls. Are you finding friendship to be most successful, evangelistic Bible studies, setting up dorm meetings? You know, the sky's the limit. So I thought we'd just share on that, and then also what tools you're currently using. What are some new things you're trying, maybe new illustrations, or whether you're using some of the old standbys and still find them to be most successful. So why don't you just break up into little groups of four, three, four, five, six, whatever works out convenient. You might want to move your chairs around, or if not, just kind of turn around. And why don't we spend about 10 minutes or so, 5 to 10 minutes on this, and then maybe you can appoint a spokesman from your group, and we'll just share briefly these thoughts after you get some ideas of discussing back and forth. So why don't you go ahead and start? What are some of the approaches that you all have been finding to be successful for you in the recent year or so? Are you doing any evangelism? okay.
Okay, when our group, we came up with the idea of a buzz session that Teresa and the girls had in their sorority, and they entitled it "Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Becoming a Christian, But Were Afraid to Ask."
Good title.
We had 18 out to that, out of one sorority.
So great.
The other idea was using the holidays, such as Christmas or Easter, for an evangelistic study. And the other one was to make an appointment with friends.
Okay. Did you all hear those? We'll have to be sure and speak up so we can hear them in the back. Okay, a couple that she mentioned, one was to use the holidays like Christmas and Easter to form an evangelistic study around that theme. Another one was to set up appointments with a friend. To share the gospel with someone. Or also they had some buzz groups in a sorority house titled
What You Ever Wanted to Know About Being
a Christian and Were Afraid to Ask. So that is a topic for an evangelistic study. Okay, what are some other ideas from some of the other groups?
Can I ask a question about that, what you ever want to know about being a Christian before that? Is that a one-time meeting?
Yes, it was.
So it'd be like a dorm meeting or if it was a sorority meeting.
Yeah, she'd already shared with some of the girls, and she was going to be there to follow up on it.
Great. Good idea.
I didn't go to it. It wasn't my deal, but it was. One of the girls shared a bridge, and one of the older girls was there to help her answer questions on that. And they stayed around and asked quite a few questions, so that gave them leeway to use this title.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are some other things that have been working, Diane?
For my group, several of the girls have been using surveys. For example, in the dormitory,
okay.
And for example, just going floor by floor, using from about 12 questions on religious preference. And from this survey, many people were coming to them because they wanted to take the survey from what the results were.
Wow.
So it sounded like a good survey. Another approach was to meet students as they came into the cafeteria and give them a survey so that you could get a pretty good meet a broad spectrum of students.
Okay.
Another way was going through a Roman study, not using John in this case, but Romans, that proved quite effective. Cold turkey, still meeting people that they don't know. And another thing was just setting up appointments, as I think was mentioned.
Okay.
An emphasis on friendship evangelism.
Setting up appointments with your friends, then.
Good.
Uh-huh. Okay, anything else to add to that?
One of the girls, just about 2 weeks ago, used an ice cream social at one of the dorms. She has a small dorm, about 150 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the girls in the dorm shared a bridge, and another girl shared a testimony. And there was a good response from that. They just brought lots of ice cream in.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that done with popcorn, too. Popcorn parties on your floor, if you have students living in the dorms. Mm-hmm.
We used progressive dinner, and it was guys and girls. And
uh-huh.
It was really effective because we mixed the cars, and by the time they got to the last place, everyone knew each other. And what we did on the way was, this was just to get to know them, to get to know each other. We made it, they had to do things together. Mm-hmm. Between each place.
Oh, I see.
By the time they got there, they were all sort of knowing each other, and they
I'm sure that really helped having a warm atmosphere because they had been together for the evening and knew each other. Good idea. Diane?
Something else that we've just seen coming back to is forming groups. They call them cell groups or interest groups. And I don't know what the tendency is now in the States, but in Japan, we find this to be very effective to meet people with the same interests. For example, there's a lot of students interested in cake baking, so I teach cake baking. But at some point, perhaps, in that little food video or something,
mm-hmm.
that girls might be interested in kind of on the floor, perhaps dormitory or other situations.
I knew of some girls who gave a session on how to take care of plants that I guess was really successful. It was a student who was majoring in, you know, plant and soil science, and she got a lot of girls to come out to that. So that, I thought that was a good topic. Or some of the craft things, you know, like crewel or knitting or playing the guitar. That's another good interest group. Sometimes you can form a group, too, if you've got joggers in your dorm or people who play tennis or something like that. Okay?
One thing that was mentioned in our group was with the surveys, that had been real positive, and then the surveys get an interesting study going. And then you make a lot of contacts through that.
Right. One idea that some of the girls where I am tried was setting up a dorm meeting, going in the very first week of school and contacting the RAs or the resident advisors. And usually during the first week, they have a brief meeting, you know, telling about the fire plan and all those kinds of rules. So they just got permission from the RA to go to the meeting and just give a 5-minute little blurb on that later they were going to be having a meeting. And I don't remember how they titled it, something, what the Bible says about being a Christian, or I'm not sure what their topic was. But they didn't get large numbers, but it was a good way. These are girls who lived off campus, and we didn't have any girls in the dorms at all. And so it was a good way to get to meet a few people. And they had, you know, four or five non-Christians come out to each of their meetings. And then that gave them further contact to go back to those girls on that floor to be able to continue contact with them. It was a dorm that was a locked dorm, which you only can get in if you know someone. So that was a way that they were able to get into the dorm and establish a few surface friendships to be able to continue on. So they found that very effective. Okay, why don't we move on to some tools? Of course, we have the bridge and the arrow, different types of evangelistic studies, studying John. Romans was mentioned, possibly a topical study of some type. Are there any other new tools that some of you are using and finding successful? Okay.
We use the Evangelism Explosion
material.
Yeah, where you share, yes, so many questions, and then you get into the Gospels through those questions.
Okay, excellent idea.
I had a couple of Bible study ideas. One was one on the end times, a radical Bible study, and another was on the Christmas theme.
Okay. Oh, another idea I just thought of that relates back to a way to get into a dorm. We have some men in our region have tried leading seminars on how to study. I don't know of any of our girls that have tried that, but again, they were trying to get into dorms where they didn't know anyone. And so they'd get permission from the dorm council to lead a seminar on how to study. And that way, they didn't present the gospel or anything in it, but it was like offering a service to the dorm in order to get to know some first names of people. And they found that quite successful. So that might be another idea to try.
In the same, they tried going in and contacting new students and just sort of being available to them to show
their things
around
the
campus. And also they
use
that study, making themselves available
if they have problems with studying. So I know some have tutored students in particular subjects and that, you know, built friendships that way. Okay?
There's a UAC, English Language Institute on our campus. And so she signed up to be at university with foreign students as a result of girls.
Great idea. So there's a lot of different ideas of ways you can meet people. I guess that gets into different ways to work on friendship evangelism, too. Okay.
It seems like the girls on our campus and everywhere I've gone, they're always interested in something on women. You know, and I've often thought, well, I wish I had a study or could develop a study, an evangelistic study with women.
On the role of women?
Something like that. And I don't know if anyone's ever done anything like that. I really like to talk to them.
Has anyone had any experience in a non-Christian setting on that kind of a topic, on women, the role of women?
Pauline gave a very good evangelistic night a couple of years ago at the University of Arizona on women. But maybe she has some.
Might get some ideas from her. That is a good idea. It's a very explosive topic right now. You probably get some interesting discussion. Okay?
One thing we tried is seeing so much on the topic of makeup parties and gay people, particularly on campus, they really like to come and they always like looking at makeup and all that. We had, we just having to know some really good makeup demonstrations and sort of plan out what to do with them.
Good idea. Okay. Another topic before we move on here that, again, the same idea as how to help students study is another one, how to help you plan your future or helping them with career decisions if you any of you have any tools that maybe you use with some of the girls that you work with, adapting that to give it to a session for non-Christians. And that's a very current need of students, and it could be you could really get a lot out to that, again, to form some friendships. Well, why don't we move on here to the next section of training. And it seems like we're all in the process of trying to train other girls in evangelism. And it seems like if we know the kinds of things we want this girl, what qualities she should have and what skills she should have mastered, it will help us in planning our training. So I thought we'd work kind of backwards. Well, let's share some thoughts on what qualities would you like to see a girl have that you would consider to be trained in evangelism. And when we list those, hopefully it will help us to work backwards and plan our training for them. So why don't we just throw out some ideas from the floor here on different types of qualities that you would see being important. For instance, one would be boldness. Initiative, okay. Okay, others. Pardon me? Okay, heart for girls. Friendly. A servant. Okay, sensitivity. What kind of things would be included in sensitivity? To what things? Okay. I see that as an important one. One is sensitivity or adaptability to different situations. I don't know what kind of dorms you all have on your campuses, but when we do evangelism, first of all, you don't know whether it's a girl's room or a guy's room unless they happen to have their name on the outside of the door. So you have to be prepared for whatever you might find if that door opens up, if you're knocking on closed doors. And so you need to be really adaptable to different situation. Sometimes you might walk into a whole group. Sometimes it might be a mixed group of guys and girls. So adaptability, and then also sensitivity to where the person's at in relationship to their understanding of the gospel. So you know how to build on that when you come back and see them in the future. Okay, any others? A good listener. That's really important. So often I think, especially when girls start to do evangelism, you know, they're so intent on what they're going to share, they don't listen to the people, and so they just kind of preach their message, and it doesn't work too successfully. You have to be in touch with where the person's at. Okay, asking questions, maybe knowing how to direct conversations would go along with that. Okay. So maybe having even a clear presentation of the gospel so they really know what points need to be included. Yeah, what's the next thing I'm supposed to say? Where's that verse I'm trying to think of? Okay. Okay, a commitment to the Great Commission, that they sense a responsibility towards the Great Commission. Sincerity. Okay, an understanding themselves of the gospel. And that's a developing thing, isn't it? A person will start doing evangelism, they'll have a basic understanding, but it's something that needs to be built on as they grow in order to really understand the doctrine of salvation in a clear way. Any other things that you think of?
Faith.
Okay, faith, and right along with that would be a person of prayer, someone who prays for their non-Christian contacts. A Okay, that might get into skills, which is the next thing we're going to talk about. That's a good point. Kathy? Okay, so maybe own personal walk with God. Our ministry only develops out of that.
Just along with it, just kind of being an interesting person to know you're having outside interest yourself so that you do not have to direct a lot of your kids and have something to miss or have other outside activities.
Sometimes our interests are so narrow we have nothing to chit-chat about people, you know, with people. We go in and we don't know all the keeping up with current events on the campus. I know that's something that I'm not very good at, but I see as really being important to try to get the campus newspaper, for instance. You know, if everybody's talking about some big event and you kind of blankly stare when they're talking about it, they're very obvious that you are not on the campus. It's a clear sign that you are not part of the campus. So sometimes you can even use campus issues as a beginning for evangelism. Okay? Good one. An acceptance of people. Seeing the potential of people that maybe when you meet them and talk with them, they don't look like they have much potential. And I know it's amazing to see the change that God makes in people. I know you've all seen that. But we have to keep that in mind when we run into some of the students on campus. Okay, tact. How about persistence? Diligence. They have to keep out there doing it. They can't, you know, do evangelism once every 3 weeks and get very many contacts.
Going along with that means the perspective that evangelism is a process, not just a one-time event.
Okay. Okay, well, why don't we move on here? That's a list of a lot of things there we've got to work on, isn't it? Okay, why don't we talk about some of the specific skills that you try to help people with. One was mentioned, testimony. Helping people to give a clear testimony and one that they can vary to different circumstances, different people. Testimony, I think, is especially for young Christians, that's one of the most effective ways for them to begin doing evangelism. Okay, what are some other skills? I think we mentioned over here a clear presentation of the gospel. That would probably fit better here.
Communication.
Okay, being able to communicate clearly. Sue? Okay, so maybe how to turn the conversation and then how to bring a person to the point of decision. I think a lot of people, they need help in that. Okay, what else? Kathy? Okay, so okay, biblical answers to common questions or excuses that you often come up against. Right. Okay. So just generally, we need to be able to know different ways of presenting the gospel. I think those are two specifically. I know there at Maryland, you have lots of Jewish students. Different parts of the country here are different presentations. So Jewish, Catholic, also how to vary your presentation. You know, sometimes you've got paper, sometimes you don't have paper. Sometimes you've got a Bible, sometimes you don't have a Bible. So being able to share the gospel in all different circumstances. Maybe leading an evangelistic Bible study. Pardon me? Okay, so your initial follow-up. Good. I think along with that, another skill is how to keep a continuing relationship with a person. In other words, you share the gospel completely. What do you do next time you come back and next time and next time? And this is where the different presentations can come in handy, different ways of presenting the same material, but you can't go back and share the bridge, you know, four times with the same person. So variety again. You can really pick up a lot of clues by looking around their rooms, if you're in their rooms. So teaching people gets back to being observant, but you can pick up their interests, you know, music, posters. If they're into sports, they might have, you know, skiing posters or something like that up on their walls. And that gives you introductory comments especially, so you just don't come in and start right out, or information for later. To keep up. Show interest in total life. How about learning how to share with another person? How oftentimes we have two people going out and doing evangelism together. So learning how to work together, helping each other, praying for one another, when you can contribute something, another question or a verse. Okay, maybe just a social ease. If you feel really ill at ease, it's really going to be obvious to the other people. Now, I think we all, especially people who are starting to do evangelism, you have that kind of fear down in your heart. But there's a difference of feeling between that and really being uncomfortable and the other people being uncomfortable because you're uncomfortable. And sometimes that happens. So, and learning how to converse, I think that goes into the idea of mentioning developing yourself, having other interests yourself will help that. There's things to talk about.
One thing that I found in one of the girls, the reason that she was really uncomfortable in presenting the gospel was that she felt she was always going to offend people with it. And I just talked with her about the idea that she really needed, this is, I think, go back to equality, that she really needed to be convinced. But mm-hmm. to TED Talk, we have the girl be convinced that Jesus is what people need. And if she's convinced that, she's, you know, she probably shouldn't do the evangelism anyway.
Right, that's really basic, isn't it? That having that conviction that, you know, so often we tend to look at the Christian life as being the abnormal. You know, we're the ones that are different. And if we can get the mentality that we have the best life, you know, and we have the answer to people's problems, then there's no reason to be ashamed of what we're proclaiming. And I think, you know, the world today is so bold in their sin that we can be just as bold in sharing Christ. And lots of times I think we're very hesitant to really come out strongly with the truth. But the basic to that is really believing that it is the truth. And it is, you know, the basic doctrine of Jesus being the only way. You know, if a person doesn't believe that, they're not going to come across with confidence. Okay, well, why don't we move on? That gives some ideas, and these are things that I think both in the qualities and skills that will help you in coming up with teaching topics or man-to-man topics that you want to deal with a girl on by knowing the objective of where you want her to be. Okay, the next question, I thought one thing I'm always trying to work on is creating an atmosphere of evangelism. Some semesters, your major emphasis of your ministry is evangelism. At other times, your major emphasis might be follow-up or some other stage of the whole discipling process. But we always need to continue to be doing evangelism, because if you lose that cutting edge, your ministry will show it a few years down the road. You'll have big gaps in your ministry. So even if it's not the major emphasis of your semester or year, how to maintain that atmosphere of evangelism to keep people excited about it. What are some things that you have found to be helpful in that, to keep the topic of evangelism current and in the front of people's thinking? Okay, talking about it. That's basic, but really works. Okay, so praying, we can pray for ourselves and our people that they would have a real heart for evangelism. Also praying for specific names of people. And one idea that one of the girls I know had is having a girl list, you know, 5 or 10 people that she wants to pray for during the semester, people she knows in classes or in her dorm, and, you know, checking up with her, asking, you know, what girl do you think is the closest to coming to Christ right now? So asking those kind of questions can really help. So prayer is a big one. Praying with them in a group, stimulating it that way. And I think having a list, keeping a list of names really helps make evangelism specific and not just nebulous. Yes, we want to share the gospel, but praying for specific individuals. Okay, back there.
Our campus, we had a list. We got to include teens, so our teens meant, you know, certain words, because they had targets, those are the people we wanted to talk to. And when we had clothes, people we had shared with, they just had to cross the bridge.
Uh-huh. Moving from one stage to the next. That's an excellent idea. Uh-huh. It's exciting, too, if you're on a large campus that does have different teams, and sometimes they're not in a lot of contact with each other, to have a you know, keep a list that somehow you communicate to everybody on the campus of those who are coming to Christ. Because there could be one team that maybe is not seeing much fruit at this particular point. But if they know that some people are coming to Christ over in this other dorm complex, that's really encouraging. And I know from a large campus, sometimes that kind of thing sometimes doesn't get communicated somehow. And I think that really helps, you know, keep the enthusiasm up that, you know, God is drawing people to himself and I need to keep out there sowing the seed. Okay. Uh-huh. That's an excellent idea.
We use that same idea in the community, only we made a little chart, and we use that on campus too, just easy. And we do that all day. We had, like, the name, and then we had phone number, occupation,
address.
And
shared
then
testimony.
Shared testimony.
Shared
did something with it. So you have a little chart you check off.
It helps you keep track of how you really are coming at building that friendship. That's good. I'll just call that a check chart for a short way to describe that. Okay, more ideas.
One thing that we did this one was to take an evangelistic trip to a different campus. And so that we really got rid of that feeling like, what are they going to think of me? Because we knew these people had never seen you again. And that may seem, but to get them started and just to experience evangelism, it's really good, and I think both the campus that we visited and our own people really benefited from that.
That's a good idea. I remember when I was first starting to do evangelism, I was at a campus where there was no girls. And I remember some girls from another campus coming down. That was a real encouragement to me because I was out there trying to do it by myself and I didn't really know what I was doing. And then also, you know, a year or so later, when I got some girls around, we went to another campus. And I remember that really being significant for the encouragement. It's a good idea. Excellent. Very good. That can really help in the girls that live in your apartments. To plus, it helps them not to see, I do evangelism on the campus and I work at the bank. You know, so that helps that make evangelism, you know, a whole lifestyle, which is always, I think, a need when we work in a collegiate setting to try to bring our whole life together and not have it segmented. Okay. Well, we've mentioned this specifically. Another thing is to have an Andrew dinner or some of the other an Andrew-type activity where people are bringing their non-Christian friends to it. We've mentioned some different ideas on that.
In our ministry, we had an evangelistic weekend where we just went away together and had some of the more mature group present on how to do it. And then they had practice times with each other and presented skits on it. And then we went out one afternoon. We have done it on a one-day type deal, too.
Okay, some special seminars or even a weekend where you make it a particular emphasis. Good. I think one thing that can help, too, is this goes into the example, not only sharing our own contacts, but just doing it with them. Maybe that's understood, but another thing is doing it with them in non-scheduled evangelism times can really help. If you only do it on your scheduled night of evangelism, it's easy for it to become evangelism is only done on that night. I think that leads us into the next topic here. What is the purpose for having an evangelism night? You all may not be currently doing this on your campus. I've tried both things. So maybe we could just start by sharing what do you think is the purpose for having a scheduled night, and then we'll talk about some different ways to use that night. Okay, Madeline? Okay. What is the purpose? What conclusions have you come to? I know we've talked about this one before and trying to come up, you know, should we do away with it? Is it making it, having an evangelism night and yet also trying to communicate that evangelism is a way of life. It's a lifestyle. It's not a Tuesday night activity. So is there legitimate reasons for having a Tuesday night evangelism night or whatever? I know some a few semesters when we've not had a night that we've gone out and done evangelism together, we've tried to major on friendship, is we've still met together one time to pray and share the different people that we have shared with during the week. I found that if we didn't do that, basically the gospel was not getting out. Sue? We all need that encouragement, don't we? We need to be around other people who are doing it. And so that's a good thought. Sharon?
I really like the combination of having some nights scheduled, maybe a series of four, and then maybe not doing it for a while.
That's a good idea.
And for a couple of reasons. One is that you can ask people to come for a series of three or four times like that, and then you should do that. And another thing is that if the whole team's going to be involved, often if you get us to come, they won't come otherwise, right? If I'm just doing some little deal with some girls, that will give some girls an opportunity to do it. So I see that as a
good idea to vary it. Madeline? Especially for your girls that are off campus. They have to have some, you know, even if it's not the scheduled night for the whole campus, probably in their schedules, you know, that Monday night they're doing this and Tuesday night they're doing this. So just for practical reasons. I think, to kind of summarize this, I think probably this idea of training would summarize it. I think we all know that the objective is to help people develop evangelism as a lifestyle. But it seems like having, and again, maybe you don't want it every semester or every week during the semester, but having a specific designated time helps in really in the training of your people. One thing that we might get into this a little bit later in more detail, but one thing I found is that because I see it a lot as training, I'm not necessarily concerned about getting our very young Christians out doing it with us on such and such a night. Because it seems like you want your young Christians to get involved in sharing naturally with their friends and with their family. And that's the kind of comments you want to hear from them. and they don't necessarily need to be out there Tuesday night sharing the gospel. But it seems like that's almost a later stage. So often they don't do any, and then you try to get them out to that night, and they're scared. You know, they stay away from it. But if you can try to help them sharing naturally with their friends before they get a fear built up, and then later try to bring them in to the actual night. Sometimes what we found successful is the older girls having some appointments set up and then just inviting a young Christian to go with them. And it wouldn't even have to be on your evangelism night as such, but it's not such a scheduled, formal type thing. If you can just say, well, listen, I'm going to go down and talk to this girl downstairs. Would you like to come with me? And it's a more natural thing than saying, well, every Tuesday night we meet. So that's one thing that I found. Well, what are some different ways of using, if you have a designated night, what kind of things do you do that night? I'm sure some is that you might meet together either before or after or both to share what's going on. One of the areas of our campus, the guys and girls got together after evangelism, and it kept them in touch with one another, with what was going on in their specific area of campus. They enjoyed that. So what are some other things that you've done on that night?
One time, or a couple times at the beginning of the semesters, we just paired up with a guy's team in the dorm and went out and did a survey.
Okay.
And it also encouraged students.
Okay, good. Okay, I think that can come out in a couple different ways. One is that you can be training your older girls to train on a one-to-one basis, or it might be yourself, depending how large of a ministry you're at. Training on a one-to-one basis where you start out, you know, doing everything, and then gradually they start sharing their testimony and sharing the actual gospel and closing. So a one-to-one type training where you go out with the same person for a period of weeks sometimes is helpful. Also, this idea of having, one thing that we've done a lot is having little teach times before you go out. One semester, my first semester out in New England, we had quite an extensive teaching session. We met for an hour. The guys and girls were together. I didn't teach it. The representative that I worked with did. But I remember that being a real turning point in my own life in developing my own convictions. Just let me read you some of the topics that we went over. Let's see what I do with that. And it was for the whole semester we went over these topics. We met for an hour, and then we went out for an hour and a half or so after that. And I know, since I've gone through this myself, I've gone back to this and done the same thing with girls myself. But like we talked about, Jesus being the only way. Who should evangelize? If any of you want this, I was going to put this on an overhead and I forgot to. You can look at this list just as an example of a training. Then we spent 3 or 4 weeks on the bridge itself, talking about the doctrine of man, God's plan, man's response. So really going over back into the real doctrinal basis. Reason why men reject the gospel, how to develop friendships, how to pray evangelistically, things that will prevent you from being an evangelist, and why we must train others. So you can come up with specific topics. And then we've done that in a much smaller setting of just taking 15 minutes where one of our disciples would take the responsibility for, you know, teaching a little 15-minute blurb before they go out. And that it helps them develop their own convictions if they have to do some teaching on it. What are some other things that some of you have found helpful in your evangelism night? Carol? Okay, role playing. Another thing I've done is to read a book together over the course of a semester, such as Master Plan of Evangelism I did one time with an older group of girls, or How to Say It with Love by Howard Hendricks, or Winning Ways by Leroy, just as using a stimulus for discussion for your first part of your evangelism night. Any other books that maybe some of you have used in that way? Okay, how to give your... That's right, I've used that one also. How to Give Away Your Faith. So reading a book together can be a stimulus for discussion. Okay, well, why don't we move on to the last section now, which is a section on developing strategy. Seems like a lot of what many of us are involved in is trying to come up with plans for a particular situation of how we should arrange and what our evangelism plan should be. So what I've done here is tried to come up with several situations at different stages of a ministry. And so why don't you work individually on these questions and don't try to come up with a detailed plan. For instance, like the first question, you've just moved to a new campus to start a new ministry. One girl who is a disciple moved with you. What will your plan for evangelism be the first semester? Okay, what you do that in that situation is totally different than what you do if you move into an established ministry. So write down some quick thoughts that come to your mind on these different questions, and then we'll do some sharing from the group to get an idea. Because I think we're involved in doing this personally, and then also if we're involved in a training center, helping our team leaders to come up with plans of how to reach their dorm areas. So why don't you take about 10 to 15 minutes to work on these next two pages. The last page is a question that deals with some specific restrictions that you might run into on some campuses. And I don't know how widespread this is, but on some of our campuses, there are some things that really affect what your plan will be. So those are some examples, and there might be others that you have run into. A community campus where there's no dorms, it's all commuters. Okay, why don't we write that down as another one on page 4 here. What you do with a commuter campus. Some of the same ideas that relate to these second two things here might help also in that situation where it's hard to get into the dorms. So why don't you work individually and then we'll share some of the ideas. Why don't we start with the first situation here. You've just moved to a new campus. You've got one girl that went with you who's a disciple. What are you going to do to get your ministry started on this new campus? Okay. Okay, excellent. Claim some promises. Okay, pick out maybe what your target areas will be, what dorms would be the best to start out in. Get familiar with the campus.
I think, too, if she's a disciple, she should really, at the same time, be a real priority build her plus the canvas. So it really, you have to do a lot of things together, not just a
right. And probably in specifically in the area of evangelism, you need to continue to equip and train her so that she's going to be able to train others when you get to the point where you've got more girls and showing interest in her. Okay, any other thoughts?
One thing that might be good to check into whether you'd be working part-time or and she'd probably be working full-time, whatever, is to check into the opportunities for jobs on campus. Because it just seems like a really good, I know that I really appreciate my job on campus, and that seems like a very natural way to be around students.
Very good idea.
I took a class a couple semesters.
Okay, that makes you, if people ask if you're a student, you can say yes.
You also go through finals together and write papers together.
It's really easy. I know, I was thinking this year, sometimes it's easy the longer you've been out of school to lose touch with what their life is really like. I mean, you know it's finals week, you know, or finals are coming up, but you know, you can forget the kind of pressures that they're under. And I think we need to remember that on the campus. And that's good. That would really help in that when you're going right through the same thing.
I found that eventually my ministry schedule is too heavy to do that, but we have a girl off campus who works nights and has a lot of time and just can't break into the campus. And so we've suggested next year that she take
a class.
Take a couple classes.
Doesn't have to be heavy, right? Great. Get involved in the campus in some way. Right, you can learn a lot from those that know their way around. When you come in strange, it makes it hard.
You could set up a table at freshman registration especially and take a survey and get people who are interested.
Okay, if you have registration at your campus, that's an excellent way to meet a lot of people. It seems like when you're just starting a ministry, you want the method that you choose would be to try to get in touch with a lot of people. If you just go out two by two, one night a week, you know, you're going to touch so few lives that this is the time when you really need to come up with a questionnaire or a survey or some type of thing to really get in touch with a lot of people and then go back and talk to those who are interested, because you can waste hours talking to people who are not. That's an excellent idea for anyone who's off campus trying to minister on campus, to try to establish some friendships like that. Madeline?
In terms of survey, if you do the registration group where you filter for everybody that's coming through, you'll end up with a lot of commuters and people spread all across campus. But if you've chosen the dorm area that you want, what we've done to eliminate it is to do surveys right after supper when people are coming out of the dining hall, and it covers the hours of 4 to 7, maybe. You can cover past everyone in your dorm, so you've got the consolidated area of where you want to start your input.
Right. I know it's difficult when you're starting new and you have very few laborers to try to spread yourself all over a campus. I know when I went to a new campus, I chose one all-girls dorm, They still had some then. It's hard to find them these days on our campuses. But and I just surveyed that entire dorm my first couple of days in town. And I got a few contacts from that, and then that gave me people to go back and see most of the rest of the semester. So that was a good way to, before I started looking for my job, I surveyed a couple of dorms in order to get contacts, because that first week is so important, as you all know. Okay, why don't we move on to the next situation? You've been at this campus for a while. You know, you have some non-students living with you off campus, and you've also that are laboring with you. And then you've got some very young Christians on campus that are not yet going out on evangelism with you regularly. What kind of things will you do this year or this semester? Okay, so doing some teaching on how to do evangelism, okay.
It would seem like, too, it would be a good opportunity for the older ones that know how to do it that are off campus to team up with the younger ones on campus.
Right.
Go out in their dorms and for them to teach the younger ones how to do it.
I think along with that, the idea that several have mentioned is to, if you've got very young Christians, sometimes you can go and spend time with them and get to know their friends. I know that on the East Coast, you have a lot of cliques, and if you try to talk with one person and try to get them out of that clique to come to your thing, it's very difficult. So we have found some success to try to go in to a group of people that are already naturally friends. And so to try to evangelize within the new Christians' friends. So you can do that by going up and just spending time in their room, you know, watching TV with them, going up and eating in the cafeteria with them. That's one thing that we've done a lot this year. And it helps not only in your man-to-man with your girls, but also it's an excellent time to meet some of their friends. And so that when they see you come on the floor, they don't see you as a stranger or outsider. They begin to see you as a familiar person. And they aren't as suspicious if they see you up in the dining commons and things.
This might be a sin, but one thing I've learned is if I don't have them display their own virtue of evangelism, they are going to do it very wrong. And first of all, just have your Bible study, have the Bible study, and why don't you do it?
Okay. Get the biblical basis down for it.
We use our apartment a lot this year. The girls really like coming over and make graphics and so and watch TV and watch a movie and make homemade ice cream together and things like that.
Students enjoy getting out of the dorm generally. It's a real refreshment to them to get over to an apartment. So that's an excellent idea. Okay, why don't we move on to the last situation here. This is a well-developed ministry, and you are moving in new, and they've got people in apartments doing evangelism. They've also got students doing evangelism. Maybe we could talk about several things here. What would you personally do, your own role, and then also these non-students that are in the apartments? Some of them probably are team leaders. And then the students. So what would you personally do? What would be your goal, let's say, for the first semester, personally in evangelism? Okay, you need to get a feel how the skills that the people have. You know, what their convictions are, what's been working on that particular campus. So the thing that I learned here is that you need to keep yourself flexible when you move into a large situation, in order so you can, you know, this week go out with this team and another next week go out with a different team or a different girl, and to not schedule yourself into a weekly teaching time or something that keeps you from being able to move around and get a feel for where they're at. Okay, what about your non-students? Some of these are probably team leaders or taking some type of leadership on the campus. What would you help them to do? Madeline?
I feel personally responsible for a particular area and come up with their own, if they're at that age level, come up with their own plan and strategy and have another laborer that they'd be going out with.
Okay, so begin to, if you've got leadership girls, to be able to start teaching them to come up with their own plan and strategy. Especially if you're new, they know their people. They know if, you know, if you've got some consistent people that have been there before, they know where their girls are at, and so kind of let them come up with their own plan. And then after you've been there and developed a relationship with those leaders, then you can start having more input yourself into helping them come up with their strategy. Mm-hmm. Diane?
Whatever they, it's just being able to get your own promises from the Word for their ministry, so that when going gets tough, they know it's really, this is what God is leading to me, so their conviction is based on the Word and not just on the tools.
And not just doing this other person's thing. They're doing it.
Think about like a half day with the Lord or a weekend, get the team leaders together to just give God.
Excellent.
What we should do for this next quarter.
I found that really important too, that the girls know what God has promised them, you know, that they get specific direction where they're supposed to go and exactly what God wants them to do. Because if you know, like, a dorm or the approach is something that's straight from God for you personally, you go out in faith because you know God's going to do something. And I find a lot of times the girls, they're just so aimless that that's when they stop doing it because they don't have any sense of direction.
Hmm.
And what they need is just to get with God and really have it fixed in their mind what God intends to do.
Very good. Okay, why don't we move on to some of these special situations? Maybe we, rather than trying to talk about each one individually, I think a lot of these situations, basically you need to be creative. You can't always rely on your old standby techniques and things the way you've done them at other campuses. But that doesn't mean that the doors are closed and the gospel can't get out. So what are some different things? I think we've mentioned a few already. If you have trouble getting into the dorm for one reason or another, or maybe it's a commuter campus, what are some things that you have found successful? For instance, one was the dining room survey. I know one of our campuses, they haven't been able to get in the dorms at all unless they know someone. So they've used the dining room survey. And also, depending on your dining commons, sometimes they are specific to certain dorm areas. Sometimes, you know, there's a huge number of dorms that come to one dining commons, but then others, you know, the dining commons is very localized so that you can still pick your target area, which is different than if you just do it like in the student union or something, where you just get people from all over the campus. What are some other ideas?
This would get you all over the campus, but sometimes to go to, say like the Methodist or Presbyterian church, like the first couple of Sundays, because the students that maybe have an interest, a spiritual type interest, will be there that Sunday. And then, you know, really being open and talking with students, you know, like maybe asking them why they came to church even though they're away from home. You know, getting involved in conversations like that with kids. But, you know, going to a church that wouldn't be a real strong gospel church and doing that.
It's a good idea. I've never thought about that one. That's a good one. Any other thoughts? Madeline?
If you can get in the dorm, you can't do door-to-door, some of the mailbox surveys and put a box in the lobby that they can drop the survey in.
Okay. Sue?
Along with that, you can't get the norm, can't do official surveys. I think the key is that first few days when everybody's moving in and the doors are open and everybody's trying to meet people, just to have the girls geared up that when they come back in the fall, we're going to deny our own personal desires in a sense of taking 3 days to set up our rooms and do that, you know, our things, get our books and do all of our things. And we're going to deny all personal desires of maybe spending a lot of fellowship with old Christian friends and training programs those first 3 days. To deny all those desires and just spend those first 3 days when the doors are all open, just meeting as many, many, many people as you can and keeping their names and room numbers and then having key questions to ask them if you could talk with them further about what you're interested in, spiritual thing, and not even allowing yourself maybe to take, you know, 4 hours to go shopping with one girl that you've met. But those first 3 days seem to need to meet as many people as possible, keeping that so that then you can go back and do more of the individual time things. And then after all the doors close, then you've got time to settle in yourself. That takes some real time.
Uh-huh. But it really works. I think on some campuses, too, your freshmen come back earlier than your upperclassmen. They come in for a few days of orientation. So that's another good time if you can get your upperclassmen to come back. They can really, you know, almost everyone there is a freshman, and they're the ones that have all the questions about where do I buy my books and how do I find this building. And it's, you can really serve them and develop friendships, because a lot of freshmen are really looking for a helping hand and a listening ear in those early days. So it's a good time to form friendships.
It's really good to look into policies, too. We, and probably the man on your campus will do that, but we have a no solicitation policy on our campus, but it is only if they put a certain sticker up on their door. And so when you first hear that, you think, well, I've got to get some new ideas. But there's a lot of freedom still within that policy.
Just have to know what to look for.
One thing one of the girls on our campus did was to go to the RA, tell her what she would like to do, and then she had a normal policy that she couldn't do that. And she asked the RA how she could meet the people. And the RA gave her 3 ideas, loaned her her typewriter in her office to do it. So I know what it's like, but just contact people who know the ins and outs.
And pray for an RA that's sympathetic to your cause.
We've tried to get our students in as student RAs, too, and have been very successful with student RAs.
Very good. I think there's just one more thought. This might be very obvious to all of you, but that I just happen to think of is, this doesn't apply to this particular situation, but if you have a choice of what kind of dorm areas that you want to work in, or maybe you've been at a school for a year and you're trying to plan what to do next year. Do you want to move your students, you know, to a different dorm area or consolidate them? I know we found that it seems like girls' ministries will really thrive if you bring your girls in together. If you've got one way over here in this dorm and one over here and one over here, they're so isolated that it seems like the ministry goes at a slower pace. But if you bring you know, several girls into one dorm, for instance, I've really seen God do some amazing things as a result of that. And so it seems like if you are to the point where your students, you can talk with them and share that idea with them, and they get excited about doing that, that can really help. So if you're in that situation, sometimes the physical setup of the dorm really has an effect on how those students that live in the dorm can build friendships. For instance, if you've got a dorm that is square and all the rooms are around the outside and the center is your bathrooms and laundry and all that, that's harder to form friendships because you haven't got anybody across the hallway. If you've got people across the hallway, somehow it seems more natural. Or I realized this year that a couple of our girls were living on a basement floor of a dorm that only had like 8 rooms on the whole floor, and the other side there was nothing. The rooms upstairs, you know, there was both hallways. And I just realized, I thought, that's not a good floor for them to live on. So if you've got the kind of people where you can talk with them about it, that really makes a difference in just the dorm setup itself. So there's a lot of little hints like that that we pick up as we continue to work to know what areas are most successful. Yes, Marcia.
Wanted to help other girls, and she was lived in the dorm. She knew if she declared she was a Christian, she would be put out of the dorm because of political reasons. So she only had one alternative, and that was to stay in the room and pray. And she did. And then that year, there were almost 20 girls who had come to her room. But she had prayed specifically that because she was afraid basically she was afraid to go out and make it known, that the people would come to her. So it started with a roommate and the other girls. And it was just amazing when we were working on evangelism and all, and she'd always go back and say, well, I never had to leave my room.
That is the key that underlies all. You can have all the little right methods, but if you're not undergirding your ministry with prayer, it doesn't get anywhere. Well, why don't we end on that note and pray, and we can all go to dinner. Let's pray. Father, we would pray that you would help us to be effective in sharing the gospel with students. Thank you for the calling that you've called us to and for the tremendous potential and opportunities of the literally thousands of students around us. We pray that you would give us clear plans and guidelines from your word and from our experience to know what is the best plan. I pray that even as we end up these semesters and go into the summer and look forward to next year, we pray that we'd have your mind. And Father, we need new creative ideas. Keep us from being stuck in old ruts and ways of doing things. We know that you are a creative God and that we have your mind, and so you can teach us new things. Give us the ability to try new things and to believe you for bringing fruit. And we pray that across this country and across the world that you would use us mightily in drawing people to yourself. Thank you now, and we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.